Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of The Stagey Place with me, your host, Elliot Shepherd. And in today's episode, we are chatting to the delightful Ben Simpson, a director of the current UK tour of Not Lady Chatterley's Lover. We chat to Ben in this episode about the production, as well as what it's like coming from small scale to medium scale in this latest iteration of the UK tour, as well as what the differences are between directing on TV and film compared to the theatre. We also chat about whereabouts his stagey place may be. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode with Ben Simpson, the director of the UK tour of Not Lady Chatterley's Lover. Ben, thank you so much for joining me on The Stagey Place. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you. Really pleased with you.
We were saying before this recording how lovely it has been this series to talk to creatives who are doing current shows at the moment. Your show, Not Lady Chatterley's Lover, which is currently on its UK tour and is touring throughout the rest of this year. It must be amazing that you're able to finally get theatre out again and on a tour. How does it feel for you to not only have audiences in one location, but to have a show that is actually touring at the moment, which must feel like a really dreaded sense for most producers and, you know, everybody else who's working backstage. For you as a director, how does it feel that you've got so many people watching your show at the moment?
It feels amazing. I mean, we were supposed to go out last year, so it was pushed back a year because of COVID. So it was doubly exciting that we actually got to do it, and it's actually, you know, got to go on its well-deserved tour. So yeah, I'm just so pleased that I was a bit nervous there that the theatres might shut down again, but it seems like it's all been great and it's all going really well. So yeah, so pleased to have it out.
Yeah, it's amazing. And exactly, it's incredible that we are able to get tours out again, especially because like regional theatres especially have been hit the hardest, of course. And it's so lovely that they're able to get shows back in again for audiences locally. So it's absolutely fantastic. And like I say, we will be chatting a little bit more about the show later on in today's interview. But what I really wanted to start by asking was how you got involved in directing and where the pathway came from. Was this something that you were always really interested in, or were you involved in other sectors of the industry before you then moved into directing?
Yeah, so I started out, I was a very energetic kid. My mum and dad thought sports might be a good idea, but I was terrible. Yeah. So the next thing was to join youth theatre. So I started youth theatre when I was about 5. And within youth theatre, the theatre that I was part of, Worthing Youth Theatre in the South Coast, we really specialised on devising, how we can devise pieces, how we can create stuff from very small inspiration, essentially. Yeah. So I've always been sort of wanted to create and sort of direct other people and, you know, bring teams together to try and sort of tell stories, essentially. And then I went to university and studied film production and specialised in directing there. Very yeah. different discipline, but very similar in certain ways. And then it was a few years ago now, must have been 2017, Lawrence Russell, the writer who I went to school with,
yeah,
got in touch and said, would you be interested in jumping back into theatre again? And I said, absolutely. So yeah, it's kind of been I've been all over the shop with it, but it's, yeah, going back to theatre's amazing, and just honing the skill of directing live action stuff's amazing.
Yeah, and let's just touch upon that then. So you were doing directing for film or for TV. You said that there are disciplines that are very similar and very far away from each other. What are the main differences and similarities between film and theatre, and which one do you ultimately, let's say, prefer?
So I guess the similarities are you're working with actors, and obviously your main concern is the audience's point of view. Mm-hmm. So they cross over between theatre and TV. There's something about being in a room with actors for theatre that's very different, because you have the time and space to be a lot more playful. You know, yeah. you can create stuff in a slightly different way, whereas TV and film is a bit more meticulous. You know, your time is very precious, and yeah. you have to get your shots in. Stick to your shot list, stick to your schedule, and you've got to get through it. And sometimes you don't get to have the playful side. So I would say the main differences are, I've got to say, I've thoroughly enjoyed being back in the theatre world again.
Yeah.
And I would probably say that's probably my favourite.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think is you go on one thing for a while and then you want to try something different. So yeah, but I just do love having a room with actors and just being able to play and throw things at them. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and obviously with this show, with Not Lady Chatterley's Lover, it's inspired by the classic story, and it's now a stage show and has been a part of the Edinburgh Fringe in 2017, and then I think it went on tour again in 2018. Can you give us a little bit of a summary of the play and what audiences can expect if they come in to watch the show in any of the regional theatres which you're touring to? And it's an extensive tour as well. There's a lot of venues that you're going to. What can audiences expect from across the country if they're coming to watch the show?
It's got everything in it. It's hilarious. It's surreal. There's a lot of physical theatre. There's a lot of wordplay. The performers are incredible. The acting is incredible. And there's some real elements of, obviously we're parodying drama, but there's some real truthful drama moments. Wes, who plays Mellors, there's a beautiful scene between him and Lady Chatterley where playing this game and they're sort of almost role play with each other. It leads to him almost having a sort of PTSD moment of him in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And it transitions very, very delicately from this little playful scene to them together to this real truthful moment of him just reliving the horrors of war.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of what you're going to see. Mainly, it's out and out laughter, but there are these absolute moments of truth. I want audience to come away, and I think they do, going, that was absolutely hilarious, but also, God, that really got me. Those scenes really got me. That's what we, pathos. Yeah. I think it's called pathos.
Yeah, and I think that's what audiences currently probably want coming out of a pandemic. They want that hilarity, but then also that tingeness of reality, hilarity versus reality, and mixing those two together. Obviously, the show has been on tour before. It was at the Edinburgh Fringe, like I was just talking about. What has the audience response been like to this show previously? And has anything changed over the years to adapt the story further in subsequent tours of the show?
We've had some great responses. I mean, when we took it to Edinburgh, we would always go out and interview audience members who were willing to talk about it afterwards. Yeah. And they absolutely loved it. We had a couple of people said they almost wet themselves. We had one woman who had a heart condition who said she almost left halfway through because she was laughing so much, but she decided to brave it. And I can say that she survived.
Great, great.
Yes, we've had some great, wherever we go, we have some great responses. And what's great is that we're getting, Lady Chatterley's Lover as a book is really in the zeitgeist. People have heard of it. You know, I remember asking my nan when I first did the project, oh, what do you know about it? Oh, it's a very naughty book. Her cousin was in bed with tuberculosis and she would smuggle a copy of the book so they could read it secretly together. So it's in the zeitgeist. So you've got the people in their sort of middle age and older going, oh, I know this story, or I know of the story, I'm going to go and see it and have fun. And then you've got, you know, we've had people as young as sort of 17, 18 go, it's just hilarious. Like they hadn't necessarily heard of it, but they just love it. So it's a real cross the board in terms of age groups. Everyone can enjoy it, I think. Back to your question in terms of how it's changed, because we've had sort of three iterations of it. And this one is the biggest version. We've really scaled up in terms of, we've got the new set. We've got a lighting designer and sound designer on board who have done an amazing job. So it's certainly filling the space that it's in, and it's absolutely deserved to be in those bigger venues.
Yeah, and like you were just saying, and going back to what I was saying before as well, being able to go out and see theatre, like you were just saying there, it seems to range around all ages. So it seems like a proper like family production that people can, you know, probably come out for the first time maybe to a theatre and see other family members and come and enjoy this experience of this show. For you as a director, what have you learnt the most directing this play?
I think the actual skill set of scaling up is quite an interesting one. We took it from an R&D week in Ipswich where we put it on for a couple of nights. Then we took it to Edinburgh, which is its own beast.
Yeah.
Then the first tour is obviously scaling up. But getting to this section now where we're in the mid-range theatres, some big venues, I've learned the most in terms of that. Understanding how to take it from these small scales to the big scale theatres is interesting, and the differences that you need to sort of take on board. So that's probably what I've learned the most.
Because I guess when, like you say, the younger iterations of this play being in smaller theatres, I guess you have to think about the packed houses and all the way up at the top, whether or not there's multiple tiers to every theatre, and going, how do we express this so that it's big enough for hundreds of more people to come and watch these shows?
Absolutely. Particularly with, you know, when you're dealing with love and sex and relationships, you know, there's sort of minute moments that really sell a loving relationship, or, you know, the odd bit of flirting. We need to make sure that they're still subtle and realistic and beautiful, but suddenly in this big space. And some of the physical puns as well.
Yeah.
I won't ruin it, but you get to see some funny bits, not real nudity, but there's some moments in it And again, we had to make sure that those elements worked in the bigger space.
Yeah, you say obviously like this current show, this current tour is going around a lot of like your medium-sized theatres. For you, how long do you think the show will be going on for in the future? Would you like to continue with it after this current tour? And would there be plans to potentially do like a longer runs in theatres? Like what would you love to do with the show?
I mean, it'd be great to get into a theatre. I mean, it deserves, God, if we could have a West End transfer, obviously that's the dream.
Yeah.
But it deserves it. You know, it's very British. It's period drama. It's comedy. It's slapstick. It's all these elements that are popular. You know, people will want to come and see it, but it is also, there's a lot of elements that you're not expecting in it. It deserves to be housed somewhere, I think. And if not, then another tour in larger venues. Let's go to the top size theatres.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you as a director, where have your inspirations come from in the past? When you were younger and you were looking at directing from film or TV through to theatre, like what inspirations did you have when you were younger that have now applied with the work that you are creating now?
So I love acting as well. Yeah. I do a lot of acting on the side. And I think one definitely informs the other. You know, I've been on, you know, when you work as an actor alongside other actors and you go, God, that's good. He's good or she's good. You go, but what, you know, and you try and understand that as a director, then you can then try and relay that back to an actor or trying to get the same out of an actor when you're working with them. Personally, I've come from an acting point of view. So growing up, seeing people perform, you know, people like De Niro, seeing them on screen and going, they are incredible. But then with film and TV production, learning behind that, like what else around them makes their performance so good. I think I come from a performance point of view, and I think that's been my inspiration, like looking at amazing actors and learning how they've actually done it in the space, and then trying to recreate that or trying to bring those elements out of other people, other actors.
Yeah, and sticking with the theme of learning and growing as a creative, we've obviously talked about the things that you've learnt the most whilst on this project. If you were to go back and talk to your younger self, what would you pass down, like the knowledge coming into this industry and this career?
I think this is a piece of advice that everyone kind of has heard of before, but I think it's so true and it's even easier to do now, is go out and make stuff, go out and film stuff. Even if you want to do theatre directing, go out and shoot stuff. We've got camera phones and mics on them that are really decent now. When you start, don't be afraid to make rubbish. It's about learning from those mistakes. It's like, oh, okay, so play it back. And what did you like about it? And what didn't work? And why didn't it work? So I just think make stuff, make stuff, make stuff, write stuff, write stuff, write stuff. And also align yourselves with people who want to do the same sort of thing. You know, the guy I do my podcast with, Adam, we've done lots of stuff together. If you're in this creative hub, even when you're down the pub, you're not doing stuff, you're still talking about it. And it allows you to develop without even doing stuff because you're just talking about ideas. And yeah, I would say shoot your own stuff and surround yourself with creatives. And obviously, yeah, as well, you know, you've got the resource that is YouTube, you know, in terms of, oh, I want to start making videos and you want to learn how to create something, or you can just type it into YouTube and there's such a resource there to help you make your content better. Obviously that's skewed more towards film and TV, but just being in a room with someone and trying to create something is the best place to learn, because it's live, you're in control of it.
Yeah,
you can change it if you want to, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, thank you so much for talking about that and talking about your advice, not Lady Chatterley's Lovers. And obviously, it's currently on its UK tour. I think I mentioned before the recording, but I'm coming to see it next week at the Greenwich Theatre in London, which I'm very excited for. I've got one final question for you today, Ben,
for our
podcast. I can't wait to see you there. That's the most exciting thing about doing this podcast, is the fact that I get to chat to the creatives. I then get to go and watch their shows, and I get to meet them afterwards. You know, I've done that with so many people who have been on this series of the podcast. And the final question that I ask everybody on that podcast, on this podcast, is whereabouts their stagey place may be. So it's the title of this podcast. And what I really love to know, and I've heard it a lot throughout this series, is that people really go back to their childhoods whenever they think about their stagey place, or they go to a space where they could just sit, whether or not that's a black box or like a medium-sized, large-scale theatre, and go, we can create theatre in these spaces. So for you, Ben, whereabouts would your stagey place be?
It's an interesting question. I think that basically when I first did Worthing Youth Theatre, which sadly is no longer going, but it was such an important part of my life. I mean, I was there till I was 18, from the age of 5 till I was 18. It was a really important thing. But we started at the Ritz, which was a small theatre space above the Connaught Theatre in Worthing. And amazingly, this tour of Not Lady Chatterley's Lover, we rehearsed and had our first venue of this tour at Worthing, at Connaught.
That's amazing. Theatre.
So I think that's so serendipitous and cyclical. And it was just great to be there. And it's that element of, you know, you're talking about a black box space or whatever, you know, when you go into that space and that the sound, you know, it's deadening and it's peaceful, yeah, before creating something. That was my first experience of it, was at the Ritz, the Connaught, and that's, yeah, I would say it's somewhere like that.
And let's just chat about that. So the first date of this UK tour, you're saying, was at that venue. How was that to be back there and be like, this is all those years ago I was making stuff here and doing like little bits and bobs, and now the tour that you're on, especially after the pandemic, you're on a UK tour and you're opening up in this venue which is so special to you. That's such a coincidence, but also must be a really spiritual and welcoming place to open the current tour.
Yeah, it was amazing. As I said, like, you know, started when I was five, which was 20 odd years ago. And yeah, just to also, because the play has been in many different places, and we started in Ipswich when we first did the original thing, and then took it up to Edinburgh, and it's, yeah, been on a tour. To have, as you said, straight after lockdown, to get all the gang back together, yeah, after a year of delay and get into that space, it felt really special and cyclical. As I say, it was yeah, like coming home.
Yeah.
Like a homing pigeon.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? I think that's a perfect way to end this podcast, because I think, you know, that just rounds everything up. And I think that circled back to probably the beginning of this episode when we were talking about, you know, the love for directing and the love that you became as a creative. So Ben, thank you so much for joining me today as our guest, talking about Not Lady Chatterley's Lover and the UK tour. We're going to put all the information about the tour online as well, and like I say, I'm going to come and watch next week. I'll potentially almost most definitely see you there. But Ben, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It's been an absolute blast.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great. And I look forward to seeing you in Greenwich. I'll buy you a Coke or maybe something stronger.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Elliot.
And there we go. That was today's episode of The Stage Your Place with director Ben Simpson. I'd love to thank Ben so much for joining me here today on The Stage Your Place. And I look forward, as I say in this episode, to seeing the production of Not Lady Chatterley's Lover early next week. And I'll make sure to be showing you around the building, as well as what the production is like when I go and see it at the Greenwich Theatre. To keep up to date with everything that goes on here at The Stage Your Place, why not follow us on social media? You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at The Stage Your Place. So until next time, my name's been Elliot Shepherd. You've been listening to The Stage Your Place. I hope you have a safe week, and I look forward to hear from you soon.